The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Although Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge, for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. As we continue our walk toward the cross this week, we again are faced with the hard words found in the opening collect. The collect is the prayer that we pray to gather us, to bring our hearts and minds together. The collect gathers us, hopefully, together. The aim is to bring us back, to remind us, to remember us, to turn our focus in the right direction. We come into this place, to this holy space. We leave outside everything that is involved in that. This week, it's the cold. Soon, it will be the heat. Along with that, all the commotion, all the things that go on outside this place. We leave those outside and we come inside. We come apart and we are gathered, collected. When we come in here and read the collect, we are collected both individually as our thoughts are focused and collected corporately as we are brought into worship together. That's the purpose of the collect. And I have to tell you that the collects this week make me feel anything but collected. As a matter of fact, they shatter me. Our collect for today is this. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. From the very beginning, this one has to grab your attention. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Rarely do we remember that the cross is in fact an instrument of shameful death. In many ways, we've become desensitized to the harsh reality of the cross. We have crosses everywhere. They come in all shapes and sizes, adorned and ornamented. We have them in our churches. We even wear them. I remember once someone questioning rather snidely that if Jesus had been executed in an electric chair, would millions of Christians be wearing electric chairs around their necks? The question seems crude on first hearing, rather trite, but the point is worth pondering. When we walk around boldly displaying a cross on a chain around our necks, do we realize what it is we are really displaying? It is, in fact, an instrument of shameful death. But as our collect also reminds, it is a means to life. The opening line from that collect is enough reminder. But then it continues. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is dangerous stuff, this following Christ. We don't pray, now that we have found Jesus, let us live happily ever after. We pray, grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you, I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite ready to gladly suffer shame and loss. We don't want shame. We want to be people of high standing in the eyes of our friends and families, and even in the eyes of those we don't even know. We do not want to find ourselves stripped naked, either literally or figuratively. Perhaps we're afraid that what will remain if we are stripped bare just will not stand up to the test. That when we are stripped of all the layers of protection that we've built up around ourselves, we will find nothing worthwhile left. We don't want that sort of shame. We don't think we can withstand that sort of loss. But as we gather today, as we are collected into the ragtag band that are the disciples of Christ in the world today, that is exactly what we pray. We pray that we will gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know people who've done that, and we are very glad for their example. We are relieved that those people do those things. Somehow, it seems that if there are others who are suffering shame and loss, we are somehow protected from that experience. While at the same time, we come here today and pray. We ask, we request that we gladly suffer shame and loss. The best I can do with that, myself, at this moment in time, is to pray that when I do suffer shame and loss, and I know I will, that I have God right there to be with me and help me move toward grace and ultimately toward gladness. At this point in time, I feel far, far away from that. At times like this, the Psalms are particularly helpful. We've just prayed together Psalm 71, which opens with the lines, "In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed." Wait a minute. We just prayed to gladly suffer shame and loss, and here we hear the psalmist ask God to never be ashamed. He continues by outlining the place where he finds himself, this psalmist. Everything is crashing down around him. The wicked have their clutches around him. His enemies are talking against him. He has become an outcast to many. But throughout the recounting of the sorry state of affairs he finds himself in, he relies on God. He knows that God is faithful. He says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I've been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb you've been my strength. My praise will always be of you." The Psalms are really good reminders of the state of human life. God is constant. God is with us. God is our strong rock, a castle that keeps us safe. Not safe in human terms, not free from shame and loss, but safe in God terms. Always close by. Always under God's care. So that ultimately we can gladly suffer shame and loss. Because shame and loss are human things. They are temporary and fleeting. Even though when we encounter them, they seem life-threatening and permanent. If we, like the psalmist, let God be our refuge and our strength, we will know that the way of the cross is the way to life, and that He is with us even to the end of the ages. Thanks be to God. Amen.